This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz.
Good morning, Wally. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. And joining us in studio this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capitol, and a couple other stops along the way. Of course, we're talking about Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are
you? Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm surrounded this morning by Alabama and the Buffalo Bills. Naz, of course, you're wearing your Buffalo Bills Bruce Smith sweater, and you're decked out in what color do we call
that? Crimson red.
Crimson red. The Alabama Tide, and are they the favorites? And I know Naz, you're a big Alabama fan. Are they the betting favorites in the college football playdowns?
You know what? They actually are. It's amazing that there's a big debate on whether they would get in as the fourth team. And now they're probably 1 or 2 point favorites over Clemson.
Certainly. So we'll keep an eye on that. And
it's still a week away.
Still a week away. So that will become the focus of attention as we start getting into bowl season. We'll be talking a little bit about the World Juniors today. Our assistant producer, Steve Sohoyos, who follows junior hockey quite closely. He's posted some great blog pieces on the Naz and Wally website, nazandwally.ca. I highly recommend you go there. He's got a pretty fine eye for junior hockey. And we'll be talking to him shortly after the first break. But last night was the return of the king, Austin Matthews, who had been off for, 6 or 7 games or thereabouts. And it came out, much to the dismay of Mike Babcock, that Austin Matthews had been suffering from concussion syndromes. They had done a great job of keeping that under wraps until Mr. Matthews felt that he had blurted it out to the press in a question, and I guess Mike Babcock wasn't too thrilled about it. But what a return performance, Naz.
Yeah, quite a player, isn't he? Makes a big difference in that lineup for sure. Great play with Nylander on the goal and Matthews on the third goal. He played very well, and the Leafs played very well, not the last half period of the third period. They got into a bit of trouble, and it was a great video replay for Toronto that made them win the game.
Well, of course, we're talking about Leafs seemed home and cooled out. They had a very safe 3-1 lead. It seemed safe, and then a bad breakout, and the Rangers brought it to 3-2, and then a few seconds later, it's 3-3. Until somebody noted that one of the Ranger players, was a little bit offside, and Leafs managed to hang on, and certainly an important victory for the Leafs. That things haven't been, except for the Carolina game on Tuesday, where they absolutely blew the Carolina Hurricanes out. Leafs have had a little bit of a rough stretch lately, Lou.
Yes, they have, and obviously with Matthews being gone, their offensive output has really gone downhill a little bit. But what I've found is they're playing a lot better defensively right now. They're not allowing that many goals, and even in the 6 games that then Matthews was out, they've really cleaned up their own end, and they're starting to play a full 200-feet game. But you're also noticing that Nylander and Marner are the main two guys that were a little bit frustrated, but they did come alive in the last couple of games. I know Nylander was real happy on Matthews coming back last night. So he's a big missing component on the offensive side. And if they can keep that going and keep their own end a little bit cleaner, there's a lot of hope for this team. Mind you, you still have the Tampa Bay Lightning there. They haven't played yet this year, so it'll be a true matchup when they do play against them.
I think Tampa Bay's coming up shortly in the new year. But
January 2nd.
An assessment of the Leafs. I mean, we're sort of, you know, when you turn the page on 2017 and you're heading into 2018, it's not exactly the midway point of the season, but we're starting to get close, and you can sort of figuratively call it the midway point of the season. And earlier on in the season, we remember how the season started, and they're blowing out teams early in the season. You know, there's the 8-5 game, 7-4, big numbers, scoring in bunches, and then the odds makers, I think at one point there were about 7 or 8 games into the season, and didn't they at one point Naz get installed as the favorites to win the Stanley Cup?
They're still co-favorites with Tampa.
So the Leafs are certainly, they're looked upon in a certain way. But if you pick up the standings, you realize how close, how fine a line there is in the NHL today. We all have the perception that the Leafs are, you know, they're in the playoffs. We're going to be fighting for the Stanley Cup, but Tampa has separated from them. And the Boston Bruins are only 2 points behind them with 3 games in hand. So for all intents and purposes, the Leafs are probably third in their conference right now. And when you check their point totals against the other teams in the other division or whatever they're called nowadays, they're right in the thick of, another 5 or 6 game losing streak, and they're not in a playoff spot. So the perception that we're, that the playoffs are there and it's not going to be a problem, I think we better not get ahead of ourselves. They got to win games like last night, and they got to go on a little bit of a winning streak. Otherwise, they're going to really start feeling some pressure come February, March.
Well, I think they're pretty well lucky that they're playing the division that they're in right now. Ottawa hasn't played that well. I know Boston is crawling up their rear end.
Boston's right there.
Yeah.
I looked at the standings this morning. I was kind of shocked. I said, oh, my God. I thought, you follow the Leafs and, I thought they were 1-2 with Tampa, and they were, and then you look at it and you say, oh, my God, Boston's right. They're 2 points behind them. Yeah. And Tampa's like 8 points ahead now.
The thing is you don't want to get into that fourth spot, because the fourth spot is a wild card, and you bring the other teams from the other division in. And right now, they've owned Boston the last 3 or 4 years, so that's going to be a pretty good hold if they hold on to even to the second or the third spot with Boston. But they want to get that home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs. But again, it's, you go on a 6 or 7 game winning streak. Winnipeg did the same thing. They were talking about firing Paul Maurice after about 10 or 15 games.
And now
look at them. They're probably in the top 3 or 4 teams to beat to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. You're looking at L.A., you're looking at Toronto, you're looking at, I wouldn't count Washington out just yet, even though they still have some flaws. But right now I'm putting probably Tampa, L.A., and Winnipeg in the top 3.
Toronto's played a lot of road games, though, Wally, and they're 11-9-1 on the road. They've played 21 games on the road and only 15 at home. And after this 3 games that they're coming up, it'll be 9 games at home more than on the road. And their schedule becomes a lot easier, so the Leafs have to make hay at home.
Yes.
And I think they will.
Well, certainly January, you make a very good point, Naz. They've been on the road quite a bit, and January is going to be a friendlier month for them. And talking about the road, you mentioned that the Tampa game will be very interesting, because that rivalry may heat up as the season progresses, and perhaps even in the playoffs. You never know. But the Leafs are heading out west, and just before we go to break, we'll come back after the break talking about World Junior Hockey. They're going to Vegas. New Year's
Vegas
Eve.
Vegas beat Washington 4-0 last night.
Vegas, they get Vegas on New Year's Eve, and Vegas has not disappeared. That literally is the story of the year, and they look like they're headed towards a playoff spot.
And home ice advantage, too.
And home ice advantage. And as you You called that earlier in the year. You said Vegas is going to make.
I didn't think they'd do this. Yeah, but I thought they'd make the playoffs.
I quite frankly, I'm kind of shocked. How do you explain that, Lou?
I explain that Gary Bettman. He's done a great job of helping that franchise over the other franchises that came in the league. He more or less he exposed a lot of the young players that different organizations had in their system and what they've done. And George McPhee, and I got to give him credit that he hired the right people out there and picked the right group of players for this first year. And all you want to do is you want to try to get by this first year with the fans wanting to go to the game. And right now, the fans do want to go to the game. And you know that some of these players aren't going to be there, but they're just more or less there for maturing sakes, or they're giving the younger kids that that wouldn't have played a chance to mature and get used to the National Hockey League. You know, how do you let a guy like Marchessault go from
Florida?
You know, and they're also going to use these pieces.
Seasons. 30 so, goal seasons are hard to have.
You know, they were talking about trading Neal at the trade deadline for some assets or from sort of draft picks. Right now, you're not going to trade him if you're in second spot because you're going to need his goals in the playoffs.
The amazing part about Vegas, they're doing it with the lineup that they have, but they've got a lot of assets that they can play with. They've got a lot of draft picks that they've stockpiled. And like you said, you've got James Neal that, you know, a lot of other teams would love to. I mean, he'd be the perfect trading commodity at a trade deadline. You know, a senior skilled power forward. And Vegas, how do you trade them?
They're not trading him.
You can't trade him.
You can't trade him right now.
Right.
But again, you look at the playoff that he had last year with Nashville. If they're at that line, and you know, there's certain teams that more or less,
well,
they sleep for the first 40 games, and Edmonton's one of them right now. And don't count Edmonton out of the playoffs. Right? I think they're two or 3 points out.
No, they've started their run, and then, yeah. that happens. You know, teams gel and turn it around in the second half.
There was
of the
a
season.
Big difference between Edmonton the first time they played the Leafs and the second time. Edmonton killed the Leafs the one night, and the Leafs won 1-0 on the. That was the night.
That was the night that I was supposed to be at the game.
Yeah, December 10th.
And I said to myself, oh, my God, if Edmonton plays like that, they're going to be right back in it very quickly. And they are playing like that. It's amazing how they've changed, right?
Anyways, it's time to go to our first break. We want to talk about the World Juniors, which is happening in Buffalo this year, close by. Canada has, I guess, impressed a little bit in a couple of the pregame tournaments, and we'll be talking to our assistant producer, Steve Sahoyos, who's up to speed on all things junior hockey right after the break. And just let all our listeners know later on in the show, we'll be taking some calls. We'd love to chat with some of our listeners. We're getting near year end. It's Christmas, and we'll open up the lines in the last 10-15 minutes of the show. We'll be right back after the break.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740, simulcasting in downtown Toronto on 96.7 FM. Live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. Check us in on your iPad. You'll see Louie here in his Alabama shirt, Naz in his Buffalo Bills Bruce.
Buffalo, New England today.
Buffalo, New England today. Anyways, on the line with us, our assistant producer Steve Sahoyos. We're going to talk about World Junior Hockey. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing great. I know you're up in Barrie up there. Is it snowing up there yet?
Oh, we've been hit with quite a bit of snow. It got warmer as the week went on, but yesterday out came the snow clouds, and we're buried in Barrie.
And apparently you're going to get buried in even more later on tonight, as we are in the GTA. Anyway, Steve, you posted on the Naz and Wally website, nazandwally.ca. You've been writing up a storm lately. And on December 16th, or thereabout, you wrote an article about Canada and the World Junior Hockey Tournament. Very, very quickly, the tournament's on, starting Boxing Day, I believe. Give us a rundown on the Canadian team. They look pretty good against, I think it was the Swiss and the Czechs. How are they looking for this tournament? Not a lot of first-rounders on this team, but so far so good. Give us an assessment.
Yeah, there's not as many first-rounders on this team as there's been in previous years. There's 8 in total on the team. But like you said, they've looked phenomenal as the preliminary games have gone on. Dominated the Czechs 9-0, beat the Swiss 8-1. So this team's looked as good as it has in the last, 10 years. It's crazy to think that since 2010, Canada's only won one gold medal at this tournament. They used to dominate this tournament. But this year, this team looks like they're going to be pretty good. Now, they haven't faced one of the top 5 teams like the Russias or the Swedens or the United States yet in the prelims, but we'll find out soon enough as they play Finland, one of the other top five teams come Boxing Day.
The player that Sweden has, he's ranked number 1. He says they say he's a can't miss candidate. I think it's Dahlin, right?
Yes, Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah, tell me a bit about him.
Oh well, there's a lot to talk about Rasmus Dahlin. Scouts say he's going to be better than Erik Karlsson. Nick Lidstrom has come out and said he's going to be like the next Brian Leetch. This kid, when we talk about two-way defensemen, he's the poster child. And he's only 17 years old, and he's dominating in the Premier League there in Sweden. So this kid's got all the makings to be a top NHL defenseman. Like Nick Lidstrom said, take it from him, this kid could be the next Brian Leetch, which, as we know, it's not too bad of an NHL career for that guy.
No, certainly not. Canada, very interesting because I noticed the same stat, Steve, is Canada, it's hard to believe, we've only won this tournament once in the last 8 years. And when I saw that, I took a step back. I said, how's that possible? But of course, the year they won it was the Connor McDavid year with Ty Domi, and they had to hang on. Max Domi. Oh, mia culpa. Let me do a sign of the cross.
You're going to put Ty in the same shoe as Max?
Sorry, Freudian slip. Sorry, Lou. Obviously, Mac. And that was a great team. Darnell Nurse was on the team. But the difference, when Canada used to win these things, more so back in the 80s and 90s, a great deal of the time it was their goaltending. We always used to have the best goaltenders in the world. We haven't had an all-star goalie in this tournament since Steve Mason in 2008 and Carey Price the year before. It's almost like we don't produce goalies anymore. This year we've got Carter Hart, who's back from last year. Tell us a little bit about Carter Hart, Steve.
So Hart was a pick from the Philadelphia Flyers. He's going to step in right away as a second year. He's one of the returning players at this tournament, and he's going to be one of the top goalies at this tournament. There was a lot of speculation with Team Canada as far as the goaltending decisions were made when they cut Michael DiPietro from the team. I'm a big Michael DiPietro fan. I've watched him a lot in the OHL. He's dominated since the second he walked into the OHL here as a 16-year-old. He's been a really good goaltender for the Spitfires, helped them win the Memorial Cup last year. So I was shocked when they cut him. But Carter Hart is going to be a good calming presence in the net for Canada this year. Like I said, he may not be the best NHL prospect in the tournament as far as goaltenders go, but he might be the best goalie in that tournament right now. And like I said, being a second-year or returning player, having that calming presence in the net, someone who's been to the gold medal game before, will help Team Canada for sure.
Steve, I was watching the game the other night, and there's one kid that stood out watching Canada play. And of course, to me, the top 2 teams in the tournament are probably going to be Canada and the United States. And they went to a shootout last year in one of the most exciting junior games I've ever watched. Unfortunately, we came out on the short stick on that one. But there's a kid, I think he plays for the Kelowna Rockets. He's a Calgary Flames draft choice. I'm watching him the other night. I can't remember if it's, I just remember his initials are double D. I can't remember if it's Daniel Dubé or Dylan Dubé.
Dylan Dubé.
It's Dylan Dubé. This kid can motor, and he seems to have a lot of hockey sense. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, so Dubé's going to be the captain of this year's Team Canada, and like you said, rightfully so. The kid is a shifty player, great in both ends of the zone. He's a Flames prospect. He's the captain for the Kelowna Rockets, and he's been on a tear for them. He has 18 goals and 21 assists in 27 games this year. He's just a good, shifty, two-way forward. And, you know, he's kind of one of these new breed of forwards, right? Not a whole lot of players over 6 foot playing that the forward position. He's one of the smaller guys, 5'11", 183, but he can play phenomenally in both ends of the ice, and you'll see a lot of him. Their top line going into the tournament should feature Dubé, Steele, and Kyrou. Kyrou from the OHL, Steele as well from the WHL. So the three of them together, it's going to be a great and fun first line to watch. And Dubé specifically, one of the most exciting players you'll watch all tournament.
Steve, I understand that the tournament is wide open to the five top teams. Do you feel that's the case? Because any one of the five teams could win it.
Oh yeah, and that's, and like we said, with Canada's dominance dropping over the last few years, this has kind of been the beauty of it, is that there's so much more parity in the tournament. I know Canadians sit, you know, say, parity, what's that? You know, we'd love to go back to dominating the tournament every year, but really on any given tournament, either the Finns, the Russians, the Swedes, Canada, and the States really have a shot to win it. And I know the Czech Republic a few years back, they're still kind of regrouping and building up their system once again. It could be a top six within the next 2-3 years. But any one of those top five teams really have a shot to win the tournament. This year, I know a lot of people are scratching their heads at the Team Russia. They're usually one of the most dominant teams, but they really don't have a big-name group of guys. Even between the pipes, they don't have a big-name group of guys. Defense has been a little bit suspect coming into the tournament, but on offense, they do still have a few big weapons, including one of the top draft prospects this year, Barry Colt, Andrei Svechnikov. He's been lights out. He missed about 6 weeks of the season with a hand injury, but he's been back for the Colts, and this is good. He's one of the more exciting players on that Team Russia. If anybody can step up and kind of catapult them, it's going to be him.
We're talking about the kid who plays for the Barry Colts. They're actually saying he's like, I don't know if he's 1A and 1B with Rasmus Dahlin. It looks like Rasmus Dahlin has obviously taken it, but this Barry Colts kid looks like he's the number two guy?
I would be shocked if he didn't go number two with what I've seen from him. I know there's a lot of big-name guys, and this is actually a pretty top-heavy draft class, but I would be surprised if he didn't go number two. He's a big body, 6'3", plays both ends of the zone really well, and he stepped in. Usually with a lot of guys, especially import picks, it takes them a while before they adjust to playing the North American style of hockey. He jumped in right away. And a lot of that has to do with his size. Being big as it was already, he's been able to jump in, and he's going to be a big offensive contributor in the NHL. He's quick, slick, and just tall, and he's, you know, a really, really talented player. He's going to be fun to watch at the tournament.
We're of course talking with we're talking to Steve Sahoyos, our assistant producer, who's a big junior hockey fan, and we're talking about the World Junior Hockey Tournament. Of course, the rooting interest is Canada, and you know, junior hockey at this level and always in the World Junior Tournament always produces some phenomenal hockey at times, and some of the games you'll remember for the rest of your life. So let's the Canadian team. Some people are saying the strength of this team is actually their defense, and there's this kid the Montreal Canadiens sent down who's played the first 27 or 30 games with the Montreal Canadiens. I think his name is Victor Mete.
Yes.
You got some guys who are back from last year. Is size up the Canadian defense for us? Because at the end of the day, if we're going to win the tournament, the goaltending and the defense have to hold it together.
Yeah, so from the defense so far, we've seen a lot of them in the offensive zone. And that's going to be their look in this tournament, is how offensive this group of defensemen really are. We really haven't seen how well they've been able to play in their own zone. When you dominate teams 9-0 and 8-1 in pre-tournament, not a whole lot happening in your own zone. So that'll be interesting to see as it goes forward in the tournament. But as far as having offensive defensemen and creating offense from the back end, Canada's got a surplus of it. Got guys like Dante Fabro, Jake Bean, you mentioned Victor Mete, Kale Klug, all offensive-minded defensemen, and they have no second, you know, they never get cold feet when it comes to jumping in on the rush. So it's going to be fun to watch this defensive core, because there really isn't a bunch of stay-at-home guys. Adam Foote's son, too, Cal Foote, he's fighting for one of the bottom, I would say, bottom two pairing jobs right now on the defensive end, and he has looked well, very well so far in the tournament. He's a little bit more of a defensive guy, but he has no problem quarterbacking a power play. He does so in his club team out of the WHL, so he's going to be another big addition to this team. This defense is, like you were mentioning, it's going to be the signature of this team, how they're able to generate offense from the back end. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch, the defense, for sure.
My assessment of the tournament is going to come down to Canada and the United States. And the United States junior program, what they've done in the last 10 years is pretty phenomenal, actually, when you think about it. Although, given the fact that quite a few of their players play in the Canadian Hockey League, but it seems like it's going to be Canada and the United States, and it's almost a toss-up. And the big game, I think it's... can't remember the exact day. Is it Friday afternoon or New Year's Eve afternoon?
29th.
The 29th. It's an outdoor game. Canada and the United States, 71,000 people.
Yeah, Rich Stadium.
At Rich Stadium or whatever it's called nowadays. Is it Canada and the United States? And tell us a little bit about the U.S. team. We've got a lot of Western New York listeners. They got the kid from that got sent down from the Edmonton Oilers, Yamamoto, I believe. There's this great player, Casey Mittelstadt. The Americans are no slouches, are they?
No, they're if anything, a lot of people have them heralded as the odds-on favorite to win the tournament. I'll be in attendance for that game, the outdoor game. I'm looking forward to it. Got to dress up real warm because, you know, I'm no stranger to Buffalo this time of year. I've been there a few times, and you got to bring out the hot paws when you head out to Western New York this time of year. But, no, they are the odds-on favorite, a lot of people will say. And like you mentioned, Casey Mittelstadt's one of the more impressive players. He's looked great so far in pre-tournament. He's a first-round pick of the Buffalo Sabres, so, you know, people in Western New York are going to be watching him very closely. He's definitely the most dynamic player on this team. He's going to be asked to do a lot, and I think he can handle that workload. He's a very creative stick handler, and he's solid with the puck. Their top line is going to be, as you mentioned, Yamamoto, Casey Mittelstadt, and Brown. Brown's a returning player as well to this team. They have quite a few guys coming back this year. They're going to be a dangerous team. Logan Brown, he was not a returning player. He made the roster, but he missed last year's tournament with an injury. He's a huge, huge presence, 6'6", plays for the Windsor Spitfires. He won a Memorial Cup last year. This kid is a massive kid. He's going to start filling out his frame, too. He plays for the Windsor Spitfires, drafted by the Montreal Canadiens. He's going to be a big contributor on this team, someone that they were missing last year. So the United States, if anything, they get a little bit stronger because their goaltending situation doesn't change either. Joseph Woll, the Maple Leafs draft pick, they took him in the second round. He's right back this year. Jake Ottinger, the backup who they had last year, is also back with the team. So, I mean, this American team doesn't have a whole lot of turnover. If anything is to be suspect about the United States, it's how well their defense is going to hold up this year. That's one thing. We remember guys like Charlie McAvoy heading this defense. They really don't have that guy this year. It's a really young group. Adam Fox and Quinn Hughes will be their top line. Both of them go to school in the States. Adam Fox to Harvard. It was a Calgary Flames draft pick. Quinn Hughes, he's draft eligible this year. He's another player that's supposed to be part of this top-heavy draft class. He is probably going to be selected in the first 10 picks of the draft. So the States, if any area of their game is to be suspicious and to be worried about, it's definitely the defense. As you mentioned, guys like Yamamoto, Brown, Mittelstadt, Max Jones is returning from last year, too. Kiefer Bellows, son of Brian Bellows, former NHLer. They've got a lot of returning guys who are great, great hockey players. Riley Tufte, he's going to be a depth player for them. He's 6'6". So they're carrying around a little bit of size in this tournament. Up front, it's going to be the defense, if anything, for the United States that holds them back.
Yeah, Steve, I guess you got your retractable hot tub there coming in from Buffalo, so it shouldn't be anywhere. You should be used to that kind of weather. Speaking of this U.S. team, it looks like they got a lot of good genes on that final roster. You're talking about Logan Brown, who's Jeff Brown's son. You got Tkachuk's younger kid there, too. along a kid that was drafted in the first round, I think, by Anaheim, that played in London this year. So, but other than the U.S. team, what kid do you think will stand out, will make a name for himself out of the guys, like somebody that'll pretty much just fly off the top of your head that might stand out that nobody actually knows about in this tournament?
And is that on Team USA, or is it just in
no,
the
for
tournament
Canada,
in general?
No, for Canada, not for the U.S.
Okay, so, all right, so if I were to go on Team Canada, a guy who I think can really step out and have a big tournament is a guy who was fighting for the 13th forward spot, Tyler Steenbergen. He plays for the Swift Current Broncos out in the Western Hockey League, and this guy's been tearing it up. He, like I said, fighting for the 13th forward spot, he's already scored 35 goals in 27 games out with Swift Current in the WHL. He scored 2 goals the other night. He's already starting to emerge as one of their key contributors and one of the guys I think they're going to have to depend upon for goal scoring. So that's why it surprised me so much he was fighting for the 13th forward spot. He's a big frame. He was drafted, I believe, in the second round, but he's a real talented player. Plays both ends of the ice very well, and he's just a pure goal scorer. So I think a guy who definitely has all the makings to emerge as one of the top players and someone who's going to start, you know, filling his way up and moving up the roster for Team Canada, Tyler Steenbergen is a guy I wouldn't be surprised that by the end of the tournament, he's playing on the top two lines. He's that good. And expect him to really make a name for himself this tournament.
Well, we've been talking to Steve Sahoyo. Steve, listen, enjoy the tournament. Enjoy your. Hopefully it doesn't snow too much on you when you're down in Buffalo. And listen, we really appreciate your passion, obviously, comes through. It's a topic you're obviously incredibly passionate about, and we appreciate the fact that you came on this morning and shared your passion and your expertise about all things junior hockey. Appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I'll make sure to dress warm, and, you know, there's always ways to stay warm at Buffalo. So we'll find them out, and I'll definitely do that. But you guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. All the best to all of you.
Yeah, just make sure that 3 feet of snow doesn't happen like 3 weeks ago in Buffalo when the Bills played Indianapolis.
Well, that's the thing with Buffalo. Sometimes you just want to get out of there, but the snow doesn't let you. So hopefully, all things permitted, I'm able to make a safe exit out of Buffalo when it's all said and done.
Hey, you probably get just as much snow in Barrie, Steve. So.
Oh, yeah. When you're in the snow belt, you're used to this.
It's not that much. Listen, you and your family have a fantastic Christmas. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem. You guys have a Merry Christmas as well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much. Watching that Canadian team the other they look like they haven't got the marquee name. They haven't got the Connor McDavid. They haven't got the Wayne Gretzky they haven't got the Sidney Crosby or the fantastic 2005 team, which people are calling the greatest world junior team ever, just because that year the NHL was on strike, weren't they? So they actually had they had the best.
The best of the best.
They had the best of the best that year because the NHL was on strike. And that was, I can't remember. I think like 15 of those Canadian kids ended up going to the NHL, and quite a few of them. That team became the 2005 World Junior team became the backbone of the Canadian national team. The 2010 the 2010 Olympic gold medal team at Vancouver. The 2014, there's so many players from that team. So certainly looking forward. It's close to home. It's in Buffalo. Should be some fantastic hockey. Look forward to it. Anyways, we'll be right back. We're going to break now. After we come back from break, we'd love to take some calls. It's been a while since we've taken some calls. We want to chat with some of our listeners, and we'll be right back shortly.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. In studio with me, of course, is Naz Marchese, and also with us this morning, Lou Franceschetti. We're going to open up the call. We're going to open up the lines. I'll give out the numbers. If you want to call in and chat, let's chat some sports. Area code 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. 416-360-0740. We'd love to take your calls. 416-360-0740. 1-866-740-4740. Please give us a call. I understand we have Tony from Lindsay on the line. Tony, how are you this morning?
Hey, buongiorno, boys. Buongiorno, Louis. Come on, stop.
Bene, tu.
Non c'è male, grazie.
Thank you so much. Tony, what's on your sporting mind this morning?
Well, I'm a fan of Lou Franceschetti, being a fellow Italian, and I really enjoyed the years when he was here in Toronto, and we should have got him a little earlier, but that's another story for another day. But I was watching that Hockey Night in Canada last night. It was Ron McLean. Is fantastic on there. Don Cherry, same thing. And then, you know, you get to the play-by-play later on. It was a good game and all that, but you know what? Why isn't Bob Cole? I know he's getting older, he's up there, but he's an icon. You know, why not? You know, he did the late game, and I usually follow suit through the late game, the Vancouver game. But Bob Cole, he's so excited when he calls. His voice goes up, down, across, and, you know, and he calls center ice, not their neutral zone, like a war zone or the boards, the walls. It's a board, it's just a wall. A wall 6 feet high, and the boards are, you know, aren't 6 feet high, and stuff like that. It just seems like we're trying to Americanize the calling of our game, the blue paint. Man, that's basketball. You know, they call that basketball, the blue paint. Man, we, you know, start using these terms. I wish we could get back to the old way of calling hockey.
So, Tony, you're a big Bob Cole fan, from what I can tell.
Oh, I love Bob Cole. He took over for Bill Hewitt. I remember Bill and all those guys, Dean Gavin. And I remember when Dave Hodge, his first night on Hockey in Canada, he took over. And I remember that night as a kid, 71. You know, it's just all these things. And I really loved it. I was lucky to grow up with the Keons. We lived down the street from us and back in the 70s, and made my hockey a lot more enjoyable. You know, and I just know that, you know, I went to school with Dave, and, you know, and I still like the way they called the games back in the day.
Tony, I'm sorry to interrupt. We've got some other callers on the line. We really appreciate your call. And we're going to let you go, but we're going to chat a little bit about some of the points you've just raised. Thanks so much for calling us,
Merry
Tony.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Same to you,
Tony.
Great call from Tony. You know, he's tooting your horn, Lou. Well,
he just likes a real hockey player, that's all.
Anyways, I want to address a point that Tony, and thanks, Tony, for calling us. We do appreciate it. And I know we got Tom from Brampton on the line. Just hold on for a second, Tom. We'll get to you. He brought up the point about Bob Cole, and we've interviewed Bob Cole on this show twice. And Naz, I remember you asking him the question, because I tweet all the time, especially during playoff time. The series, so which series am I going to watch? There's like six series on. I always watch the one. If there's five games on TV, I will always watch, unless the Leafs are playing, of course, but I will always watch the one that Bob Cole is doing the play-by-play. And, you know, he's gotten lost in the shuffle, I just think he's still the best, by far. And you and I think, Naz, you asked him the question one time. Why aren't you doing the Toronto Maple Leaf games? And I think he said he wants to do the Toronto Maple Leaf games. And the Leaf fans want to at least, you know, have him do three or four games a year. But, you know, we get Houston on Saturday nights now. And Tony mentioned it in our caller, you know, Bob Cole. I mean, I want to see him doing some Leaf games, especially now that the Leafs have a good team.
Well, Bob Cole is as old school as he can possibly get, and you got to look at the direction that the National Hockey League is getting going. Jim Houston's a younger man. Craig Simpson played in the 80s. So you're getting two younger gentlemen over Bob Cole and Gary Galley.
Anyways, want to go. We've got the phone lines are buzzing this morning. So we have Tom from Brampton. How are you this morning, Tom?
Great.
Thanks for joining us, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, thank you.
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, the IOC not kicking every Russian out of the Winter Olympics, for one thing. And secondly, the Spengler Cup. I love that hockey. Canada in there. Those 20 guys they got for this Spengler Cup are going to the Winter Olympics. And it's nice to see a Sioux boy in there, being my hometown. And as far as the NCAA goes, I'm betting on Oklahoma just because I hate the other three and Notre Dame.
Oh, you hit some sore spots this morning,
that's
Tom.
Okay,
but
Tom,
that's
you keep living in Brampton, okay?
Yeah,
don't worry about Oklahoma. We We know that Oklahoma is going to be a fierce competitor, mind you. They got to get by Georgia first, so we'll see how Mr. Baker Mayfield does against that.
Oh, he touched the sore spot with you there, Lou.
No, he didn't touch nothing.
You know, but good for Tom.
At the beginning, I was cheering for Wisconsin.
Anyways,
Tom, listen, we very much appreciate the phone call. We're going to follow up on some of your comments. Yeah. I didn't appreciate the little jab at Notre Dame, but it's all in good fun. And we thank you so much for calling.
And
really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Took a little shot there at Alabama and Notre Dame, Tom. But that's fine. It's all in good fun. And Oklahoma does have they look pretty impressive at some times this year. So perhaps we'll have this conversation in a couple of weeks. Tom from Brampton may not be off the mark.
Well, we'll see how they do against the top five defense.
Yeah.
You know, that
They laid a pretty good beating on a very good Ohio State team in the Horseshoe.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
Let's hold on here.
Yeah.
You're gonna say Ohio State defense.
And they got a Heisman Trophy
51
winner.
Points to Iowa.
Iowa. Okay.
Okay. So let's don't even compare Ohio State with anybody defensively.
The other point I want, and I know we got Kevin from Buffalo on the line. Kevin, just hang on for a bit. We'll get to you. I just want to get through this comment. Tom raised the issue of the Russians in the Winter Olympics, and the Canadian hockey team. The Winter Olympics is in about a month and a half now, February sometime, in Pyeongchang, Korea. I can't remember ever in my lifetime that the Winter Olympics has been so off the radar screen.
Because of hockey.
Yeah.
It's
a shame because I've got to, the Winter Olympics has been a focus for all of our incredibly talented and dedicated amateur athletes. And then, they put the NHL players in the Olympics, and that sort of took the focus off the amateur athletes. And now that the NHL's not there, Naz, are you getting the sense that we seem not to have a focus so far on our Winter Olympics team?
The caller mentioned the Spengler Cup. Can you believe this? We're sending the guys from the Spengler Cup to the Olympics? Doesn't that sound...
Anyways, I want to come back to that point. I know
sounds wrong.
We've got one of our loyal listeners, and I don't want to keep him holding that much longer. He calls in quite often, and I want to respect he's been on the phone for a couple minutes. We'll come back to that point. Kevin from Buffalo, how are you this morning, Kevin?
Good morning, gentlemen. Merry Christmas and a very healthy 2018. And so glad to see last evening Mr. Austin Matthews back in the lineup for the Maple Leafs. And here in Buffalo, who would imagine last place in the Eastern Conference, the Sabres? And gentlemen, it's been a very strange beginning of the year because, as you know, the Sabres are not scoring. And to me as a fan, Phil Housley, it's like he doesn't really know which way to go with the team. They're not scoring, but they're getting excellent goaltending. And as a fan, I thought they would be a little more offensively this year. But just changing course, I was so glad. What an autumn. Who would imagine the CFL, the Argos winning the Grey Cup, and the great success for the soccer. And just simply in closing with the Junior World Tournament here in Buffalo, and like how you began the show, an excellent preview, USA and Canada, by far the two strongest teams in this tournament. And it will be just great to see all the young talent playing the upcoming weeks. And if I can just add, it's supposed to be a bitter week here in Buffalo, like highs of only like 17 and lows of 10. So any great fans coming down to the game Friday, just keeping that in mind because it's going to be very, very cold. But in closing, you're a great station. Listen to you every week, and not only the broadcast, but the music, and always keeping great thoughts for the Blue Jays, too, in 2018. be a very good season. So,
Kevin, listen,
my best to you, gentlemen.
Oh, and our best to you. Listen, you've been one of our more loyal listeners, if not our most loyal listener. We appreciate the support, and we wish you the best of the holiday season, and let's have a great tournament down in Buffalo. Naz, I'll turn it over to you. Since we're talking about Buffalo, really, really quickly, the Bills, are we making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they will. They need to win one of the last two games, and probably going to be next week, but New England's banged up, so they're going to have a tough time against Buffalo today.
You were motioning, Lou, you wanted to get a comment in when Kevin was on the line.
I was just mentioning to the gentleman, to the general there, that game on the 29th, that could have a big effect on the seeding in the two conferences for the World Juniors, because remember, this is going to be a game that could be controlled by the elements. And you got Canada and U.S., and they're going to be playing for the first or second seed. And obviously, if you get in that second seed, you're going to have to play that extra game. And playing an extra game is less rest, where if you end up in first place, where that's where I'm going to say the elements, as cold as the general is saying, could have an effect on the final score and the final outcome of where Canada and the U.S. seed themselves, whether it's 1-2 or even third. I don't know if they have Sweden or Finland, or Finland is going to be in the third seed in that thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Lou, but only got a few minutes left.
You always do.
I always do. That's fine. That's the privilege of sitting on behind this mic and taking all the responsibility and having to do all the preparation. So with responsibility comes certain privileges.
Okay.
But the point of what I'm going to say is, because I'm going to turn it back to you, I'm almost getting the sense that outdoor games are overdone, number one. It's like everywhere you see an outdoor game. And, you know, you got a game in Buffalo. Hopefully they don't get a snowfall like they got for that.
That's what I'm saying, the elements,
right?
Yeah.
And Kevin was saying that it's going to be 17 and 11 degrees. Of course, that's Fahrenheit, not Celsius. And that's cold. And if it's windy. As a player, as a former player, would you have enjoyed playing in one of these games?
You always enjoy, because that's all we did all winter and when we were growing up. It was more or less, we couldn't wait for the weekends or even after school, because we'd go right to the rink.
But as a professional hockey player?
The only time that I was out that one, and obviously you want to play against.
Do you get the sense that okay, 10 years ago when they started it is one thing. Do you get the sense that the professional hockey players today, after they played in a few of these games, are really thrilled about it?
They are thrilled about being part of it. I'm not sure after they get out there.
And how much difference does it make from a hockey point of view? How much difference do the elements make on the actual game itself?
Well, obviously, it's all mental.
Sure.
Really? And it's all how you prepare yourself and the clothing that you put on. And until you get out there and you have somebody competing against you, it's a lot different than when you're just out there playing shinny and going through the motions. Mm-hmm. So, and especially when it's, you know, somebody hits you at, it's 15 degrees Celsius, and somebody cracks you pretty good, how does the body going to take it? Are you going to get up and say, okay, I want more? Or are you going to say, I don't want to go through that. I'm not going to go in the corner first.
It doesn't belong in championship games or tournament games or playoffs.
I could see it as an exhibition, but in
yes,
the World Junior
belong.
Tournament?
It doesn't belong.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I don't want to let the show go by unless we, you know, we lost somebody a couple of days ago that was a titan, a giant in sports broadcasting, you know, and that's what we do on Sunday mornings, Naz. You know, we don't do it for a living like the Dick Enbergs and some of the other people in the world. But Dick Enberg, when I heard about his passing, it was kind of shocking. They found him at home. He was supposed to be on a flight to Boston. And you think about some of his calls over the years, and it brought into focus for us, and we chatted about it before the show, some of the great, great sports broadcasters that we grew up with. And, you know, we're talking about where we fit Dick Enberg in that list. And, man, he was involved in some of the greatest sports events of all time, Olympics and Super Bowls and all kinds of other different things, NFL and baseball. And the infamous call, the oh my, and touch them all and all that. One of the greats of all time. Top five. I mean, we chatted about some of the guys in that list, Naz. Dick Enberg, what did he mean to you as a sports broadcaster?
Well, I remember him in the Super Bowls, 10 of them, as a matter of fact, he did. And also, you know, I did a bit of reading, and he was a baseball player or coach at one time, a high-level coach. So he had some experience at that level. And he was an amazing broadcaster. We were talking before the show about how many broadcasters are. What about Canada? Who's Canada's best broadcaster?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a debate. We've had a few good ones. We've talked about from the hockey side. Of course, there's always Foster Hewitt and Danny Gallivan and Bob Cole and Johnny Esau.
Johnny Esau would be mine.
And some of those guys from the 60s and Don Whitman. And, you know, we don't have – unfortunately, you know, why don't we bring that topic back for next Sunday? And we'll have our callers call in. Who are the greatest – some of the great sports broadcasters of all time? We'll do that next Sunday because we only got about 30 seconds left. Getting the get-off-the-air signal from the producer. Lou, I'll give you 10 seconds to wish everybody the best.
I just want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a healthy 2018. And hopefully we will – or most of us will be around once the year turns around.
Naz.
Merry Christmas to everybody, and I hope everybody celebrates and celebrates well.
To all our loyal listeners, first of all, to you, Naz, and to you, Lou, all the greatest. Have a fantastic Christmas, and the most important thing for 2018 is, of course, good health.
Thank you, and I just want to say one thing out to the listeners. Please, if you're going to drink, stay off the roads.
Couldn't have said it better. To all our loyal listeners, we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic Christmas. And a happy, healthy new year. And thank you so much for your support. Appreciate it.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.